I love the Christ, the Son of God, who died that I might live. I would my gratitude express, a living sacrifice to give. My gift is small, it is my all. Accept it, Lord, I pray. God, we just thank you tonight. We thank you, God, as we close revival. We haven't closed our hearts. Our minds and our spirits are awakened, God. We believe that you are still reviving our souls. We believe that you are still quickening our tongues to share the good news of the gospel with every man, woman, boy, and girl we meet. So tonight, God, let the word be a fresh word. Let the word be an instant word, God. Let it quicken our souls. God, we just thank you for the Argentine Church of the Nazarene. We thank you for the holiness movement in our hearts, in our hands and in our feet, swift to do your work. We're going to give you the praise and the glory for everything that is said and done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good evening, everyone. Now you know the drill. I love you dearly. I'm not going to bite you. I've been here 3 nights. I need everybody to come and fill the first 4 rows, if you can. If there's something going on in your body and you want to sit where you're at, please do that. But if you can, if you would come and fill the first 4 rows, I need to holler and you need to help me holler about the goodness of the Lord. How about that? While you're moving, please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. The Gospel of Mark. I thank you for helping me out. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. When you have that, say amen. Amen. You need to hear a few more amens, and then I'm going to begin to read. I want to thank Brother Bob for his devotional inspiration worship service. I knew I was on track when he opened his mouth and said, "It's about faith." I thought, oh, praise the Lord. We got the word for the evening. You have your word? All right, we're going to do like my neighbors across town at the Baptist Church. Stand up on your feet as we read the word of God. Mark chapter 7. I know as Methodists we sit down, as Wesleyans, but stand up for the moment. You need to stretch. This is the stretch. Mark chapter 7, verse 24 through 30. Bear with me. Read along as I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. Right away, a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet. Her little girl was possessed by an evil spirit, and she begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. Since she was a Gentile, born in Syrophoenicia, Jesus told her, 'First, I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs.' She replied, 'That's true, Lord, but even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates.'" Verse 29, "Good answer," he said. "Now go on home. For the demon has left your daughter." And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in the bed, and the demon was gone. Please be seated. Tonight, if I were to tag this sermon, I would call it, "Faith is the framework of every phenomenal follower." Say that with me very slowly. Faith is the framework of every phenomenal follower. All right. In 1978, the poet laureate Maya Angelou wrote a poem entitled "Phenomenal Woman." This poem is considered an anthem of strength for many women. It describes, in simplistic rhythmic cadences, characteristics other than beauty, which define the quality of a true woman. This rather brief poem is a celebration of God's unique gifting of inner strength and beauty. In essence, Angelou states in terms understandable to her cultural audience, my beauty evolves from my strength, regardless of my social status, my shape, or size. Wit and charm are among the phenomenal followers' toolkit. People across centuries have been gifted by God to thrive and survive in unique situations. Our sermon today looks at a unique, phenomenal follower. Her biblical description is based on her ethnic heritage. She is called the Syrophoenician woman. The text opens and we pull back the curtain by telling us that Jesus has traveled some distance north of Israel, approximately 100 miles, to the cities of Tyre and Sidon to hide. Isn't that something? Jesus is hiding. This area is considered, listen, unclean Gentile territory. As Jesus attempts to be hidden, the Syrophoenician woman hears about Jesus and goes to the house where he's located. We must note that Mark introduces us to her by calling her a Gentile who is of Phoenician origin. In other words, she is an unclean pagan by birth, a foreign female who is untouchable because of her little daughter's unclean spirit. Wow, those details appear to be rather bleak. This woman possesses a phenomenal faith and persistence that we've not seen displayed in Mark's gospel by the chosen disciples or the religious leaders. Faith comprises the framework that is needed to be a follower of Jesus. This woman was on a mission. The scriptural text tells us that Jesus was desirous of being in a place to be hidden. A hidden God. We'll deal with that a little later. The text shows us that the woman found Jesus. Now, let me suggest to you that she was in pursuit of him. My sisters and my brothers, anyone in the pursuit of Jesus will find him. Interesting enough, Hebrews 11:1 reminds us that now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not yet seen. Now, millions of folks quote that daily. But real faith is visible and is lived every day, listen, through ordinary men and women. The Syrophoenician woman displays great faith. She dares defy the customs of her day that promoted that women of quality and strength dare not approach a man who is not her husband, let alone make a request for assistance. This phenomenal woman, who we are not told in the biblical text whether she believes in the Jewish God, has faith that is actively in pursuit of a healing for her daughter. She is truly a woman on a mission. This phenomenal follower, based on the testimony of others, after hearing that Jesus is in town and that he is able to heal and to exorcise demons, finds it sufficient enough for her to be in pursuit of him. She wanted an encounter. My brothers and sisters, we must actively pursue Jesus with all of our concerns. Amen. Like the Syrophoenician woman, we must have a bold, courageous spirit. Listen to this. In spite of our past sins, our past failures, listen to this, our families or origin or seasons of life, we must be able to call and be bold in our pursuit of Jesus. Now, it is necessary that when we approach Jesus, like the Syrophoenician woman, we assume the correct posture and attitude. Brother Bob just held his own praise session up here without the music. In his heart, he was compelling us to draw close to God. He wanted us, it's not because the music is beautiful, my brother. It's not that he didn't want to hear the music. He wanted to hear your soul crying out for the Savior. He wanted your earnest plea to be all about Jesus and not about you. And so when we enter into this place, you understand, we enter into here to worship. Now, you may not worship like me. I'm pretty loud. Hey, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful Savior. Mighty God. The Prince of Peace. The everlasting God. When I say he's a wheel in the middle of a wheel, I can't leave the mic. He's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When I tell you he's a healer, he's a deliverer, I've been in the hospital for 3 months. I've had sepsis and wasn't supposed to be here, had a 1% chance to live. I've been sick on this side, but I come to report he's still a healer. In 2019, had both my knees done. Now I can run a little bit. Then my hips start hurting. I'm like, oh, God. But I promise I'm going to run on and see what the end's going to be. I'm going to get on a plane, Brother Rob, if I have to be in a wheelchair to get there. But I'm coming. You hear me? The Syrophoenician woman says, listen, I may not know how to worship your God, but I heard about your God. I heard he's an awesome man. I heard he can heal the lame. He can make the blind to see again. I believe he's still doing it in 2019. I don't believe God's any short of his power. I believe he can make a way out of nowhere. I can tell you stories when my daughter's tuition was due. Didn't have a way possible. My cousin, Dr. Jesse Fry, in here, she's going to get me for this. My daughter needed some money for something. And in the mail, Dr. Fry says, she sends her a letter saying, I just want to encourage her to go on to school. Sent $300. She didn't even know. She didn't even know. That's what we were short of her tuition. God laid on her heart in Lansing, Michigan, retired educator, principal, to send my daughter in Alabama at the right time. We didn't ask the money we needed to get her tuition. God is still working miracles. You can be quiet if you want to. I might run around the building with my bad hip. Come on now. Here we see that this woman who was a pagan, the word doesn't say she, listen, the word didn't have to tell us she wasn't a Christian because she was Syrophoenician. She was pagan. They worshiped differently. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're seeking God, there is some transformation that just comes from you being in the presence of people. When she walked into the presence of Jesus, in our text it says, the Syrophoenician woman bows down before Jesus. She displays respect by this act. Though in her culture, in pagan cultures, it could have been received as a shameful sexual act. She bows down to acknowledge Jesus' worthiness before lifting up her concerns. How many of you wake up in the morning and say, oh, God, oh, my hip hurt, oh, Lord, ooh. Before you say, God, I just thank you for a good night's sleep. I thank you, God, that you allowed my name to be called this morning to wake up. God, I want to give you honor and to praise your name just for another breath. Yeah. She praises Jesus before she asks him for anything. As we pray, we must approach God in the correct manner. We worship God for who God is, and God in turn invites us in to fellowship with God. The Syrophoenician woman understood the nature of God, her position in relationship to God, and the correct manner for approaching God with her concerns. Perhaps her understanding was based on her pagan worship. Sometimes it is. Yet she was persistent in her worship of Jesus. And patient with his response. Listen to me. There are times when people tell us something and we don't want to hear it, and it discourages us, and we stop. He told her, listen, he said, it's not your time. I've come to feed the Jewish household. Then he calls her a dog. I looked at it in Greek. Trust me, he called her a dog. Some people infer, well, he didn't mean that. No, he called her a dog. Now, you call me a dog and it's on. I got something for you. We're going to say some words that ain't going to be pleasing in the Lord's sight. because that's just offensive. But this woman was not offended. When you want Jesus bad enough, you can't get offended. When you want Jesus to move on your behalf and time seems to creep along and looks like God isn't working, looks like he ain't healing that thing, looks like your children are acting worse, look like your finances are going bad, you got to be a persistent worshiper. You got to say, God, I give you glory and praise. God, I'm looking, sir, you're not coming right away. But I know you're coming, God. I want to thank you for that. So she doesn't get offended. Perhaps a true person of faith is a persistent worshiper who gives God glory in all things. God, I thank you. Doesn't look right today, but I know you're coming tomorrow. I love that story. I've heard it before, where everybody but old Mother Mary came in their regular clothes. But the pastor said, we're praying for rain. Now, if you're praying for rain, you got to believe it's going to rain. So you got to come in your galoshes. You have to come with your rain gear on and your umbrella. Because other than that, you're praying in vain. Mother Mary understood that. So listen, the proper position of a persistent worshiper is that of patience and confidence that God is in control. I was in the bathroom back in the fellowship hall, and there's a sign up that says, patience includes a long wait list. And it does. Patience. This sermon is a study of to consider the framework of faith. Our text involves a multifaceted person with a problem. She is a Gentile woman, that's already a problem, with a sick daughter. Now she's unclean. And I have chosen this Syrophoenician woman because of her trust in Christ, her exemplary behavior in spite of her adverse circumstances, and her willingness to not be offended, but respond positively to negative consequences. When we go out and we evangelize, the revival doesn't end tonight. We're going to keep doing this thing. We're going to keep calling those who have lost their way back to Christ. We're going to keep renewing our minds so that we are revived enough to go and tell somebody about Jesus. So here she was not going to respond to a negative situation. Jesus replies to her, let the children be fed first, for it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. This text has inflamed many people across the century. And I must say, when I read it in my 21st century context and what has happened in this country, I'm offended. Was Jesus calling her a dog? Perhaps a little dog, a little pet cute dog. Who were the children he was referencing? Them belligerent scribes and religious leaders, the dim-witted disciples, the Pharisees, and those that were sad, you see? Was Jesus marginalizing the sick child because of her ethnic heritage? These are questions that I ask in the 21st century. I'm sure that I can think of some more, and you can too. But I must admit that even though I'm offended with my 21st century read, I trust Jesus. I trust Jesus. Did you hear me? My mind is offended, but I trust Jesus in my heart. Rather than read the words, I recommend that you and I watch the posture, patience, and persistence of the Syrophoenician woman. She offers to us a model. Undaunted by Jesus' remarks, whether they were a cultural slur of her day, a social commentary on her ethnic heritage, or whatever, she utilizes a faith that can only be exhibited by a phenomenal person of faith. Standing in the presence of the Word incarnate and responds appropriately. Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. This quick-witted response does several things for our understanding of this text. It unravels for us the character of this faithful person. Her strength is not in external characteristics, nor in the opinions of other people. She is grounded in faith, patient in trying times, and level-headed enough to think through the process. This is the Almighty God who is able to do everything but fail. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his throne to the only wise God. This is who she's talking to. She's a woman on a mission to get her child the help she must have to thrive and survive in life. Actually, she's an experienced negotiator is what she is. The goal is greater than the person's feelings. Isn't that something? The goal is greater than the person's feelings. In essence, she says, yes, these are labels, societal labels, that have been attached to me and mine. Yet I need Jesus so desperately that I must put aside all offenses and press for the transformation of my daughter's life and mine. These are the characteristics of a phenomenal follower who possesses great faith. Faith. It's that wonderful gift that God allows us to continue in hope in spite of our current circumstances look like. Faith has the ability to transform lives and empower everyone that it touches with a living hope. Faith is cultivated and developed through usage and a proven life of trust in God, regardless of the outcome of the situation. It may not end like you want it to, but you got to have faith it's going to be better on the other side. All right, listen. My point, when God observes persons of great faith, courage, and tenacity, God will respond. I can guarantee you that his response, I cannot guarantee you that his response will always be in the direction of your prayers. But I can guarantee you that God will respond to bold persons' consistent acts of faith. Mothers keep petitioning God for your children. God will answer. The Syrophoenician woman's example of courage and trust in God, in the living Christ, brought about healing in the life of her daughter. Aunts and sisters, brothers and cousins, fathers, keep praying for your families, neighbors and friends. Revival will come to your household. Do not relegate your responsibility to the church, Boys and Girl Scouts, Little League, or the school to handle. Model a life of faith. Jesus is moved by this woman's insight and her ability to push past surface circumstances and comprehend the greater mystery that God is in control, that God grants her request. In verse 29, for this statement, for what she said, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. How desperately do you need Jesus tonight? Are you willing to push past pettiness, pride, and all the past issues in your life to pursue Jesus at any cost? I come tonight to invite you to push past everything that stands between you and Jesus. I come tonight as we close this revival to say, look to Jesus. He alone can save. Look to Jesus. He alone can deliver. Look to Jesus and live. The Syrophoenician woman was a multifaceted person of faith. She kept a home together, y'all. She supported and loved her family so much so that she pursued a God, Jesus, that she didn't even know, but came to know fully. Only a follower of full of faith could be confident and loving enough to care for their loved ones while pursuing a personal relationship with God. This is a message for the 21st century church. Let your light reflect the gentle spirit of Christ. Do not be harsh in your dealings with others. The best example of evangelism is a loving, spirit-filled follower whose faith is in God for the salvation and deliverance of their family. Talk to God about your mate, children, and family members. Show your family the love of Jesus through your excellent moral living, even when it appears that your petitions are not being granted. The Syrophoenician woman's response and respect, Her gentle handling of Jesus, come on, y'all, and her family members is a living testimony. I love the Christ, the Son of God, who died that I might live. I would my gratitude express a living sacrifice gift. My gift is small. It is my all. I'm asking God to accept it and to use it for kingdom growth. She says, you be a living epistle. Your excellent moral living, her response and respect. She becomes a living testimony that is still breathing down in the 21st century. She is a timeless truth to millions of men and women in this century. This follower, faithful, sets an example that when you properly regard, listen to this, the care and keeping of children, God is pleased. Our scripture teaches us that God, that she and her daughter were able to thrive and survive because of her unfeigned faith in the living God. This follower left a great legacy. Her good works compelled her to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentile world through her commitment to her family. Let's examine this faithful follower, multifaceted person of great faith. Her source of strength, the focus of her petitions, was the Spirit of the living God and the Word incarnate. Her lifestyle speaks volumes to generations of faithful followers and their family members. I strongly recommend that everyone learn to develop the characteristics of this faithful follower so that we may each obtain the place that God has called us to occupy until he comes. Now, faith is a living, breathing example of the assurance that God is in control of every facet of our lives. God is working on our behalf. Faith is a gift from God for all of us to enjoy. Amen. Amen. Tonight, Pastor Rob's been making the call to discipleship. And I honor Pastor Rob, as he's told you, we were seminary classmates, but he is my friend and my brother. And when he called, I answered, and I'm so glad I did. Thank you so much, Pastor Rob, for allowing me to come. Sister Gloria, thank you. She has just been the hostess with the mostest. Dr. Jesse, thank you for coming through the rain. I appreciate you. Tonight, let me do the call to discipleship. Creator, family, you are my family, Church of the Argentine Church of the Nazarene. Family, let's follow the model of this phenomenal, faithful follower. Now is the time to pursue Jesus. I know, I look around the room, I've seen you all week. I know you love Jesus. I know you're walking in his way. But I need to come back next time. This church has almost doubled in size the last time I preached here. I need you to be ready when Pastor Rob lets me come back next year. I'll be back in October, but for a different time. But okay, I'll come through. But we'll stretch. Okay, praise the Lord. But listen, the next time I come back, I want to see twice as many people. I want you, the same grace and love you've shown me this last week, I want you to go show other people. And we find some new folk in here when I come back. I know you've been praying. God bless you. I'm tired. I'm tired. But you've been praying, and God has, to me, done a great work in me. I don't know what he's done for you, but he's done a great work in me these last couple days. And so, family members, those of us who have walked with Jesus sometimes grow weary. Anybody weary? I am. I want you to come to the altar tonight. Some folks haven't come, and I know the altar is a funny place. It's the place where we come and we meet Jesus, but then some of us don't come back after we meet him. We need to come back. If you feel like it, let's come back to the altar tonight. I want to pray for you. I want you and me. I'm going to rededicate my life tonight. I want to rededicate my life so that I may be a living epistle of a faithful follower. I want God to bless me that when I go through the airport, I will have discernment and wisdom to know when to speak to somebody and when to share Christ. When I go in the bank, I won't be one of those people, you know, strange people, but I want to be one of those people who can sense God's move. So if you would, join me at the altar tonight. I want to pray for God's direction and understanding in all matters for my life and for yours. Let's stand on our feet. if you feel up to it. I always ask. I don't coerce anybody. The altar is open. Pastor Ralph, sit down. I'm going to pray for you in a minute. Sit down. The altar. There's some saints here. Come on down here, saints. Some of you all are prayer warriors, and you help pray. You help me pray for these saints at the altar. Come on. In the old days when I was in the Holiness Church, we worked the altar. And we worked the altar longer than the service was because it was urgent. There's an urgency. There's an urgency tonight. We can't do what we used to do. There's a world that has got a lot going on. And let me tell you something. I'm not naive. There's a lot of good things going on in the world. We hear on the news most of the bad things, but there's some good things going on. When they would bring me back from Lansing night, Pastor Rob and Travis and Eddie, there were open houses all up and down the street. That says children are still graduating, praise the Lord. That's a good thing. There were families celebrating. I want you each at the altar, pray for yourself, and then I'm going to pronounce a prayer and a blessing over your life tonight. I want to leave town having done God's will. I want to do what God called me here to do. Amen. All right, if there are any altar workers who want to come and pray with folks, you're welcome to do that. If you need someone to pray with, sit down, Pastor Rob. I'm going to come down myself and pray with you. Okay, adjust then. You can do that. Pastor Rob has worked so hard to do God's work.